and welcome to the PGA Championship Week edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballinger, and it's great to have you here with us as we get ready for the final major of the year. Get a hold of me on Twitter, at Ryan Ballinger. You can still use email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can follow Golf Newsnet on your favorite social media service at the handle Golf Newsnet. Find all of our work on our website, golfnewsnet.com, and you can download our app for Roku TV or subscribe to us on YouTube. We are presented by BetDSI.com, and BetDSI.com has been in business for over 20 years paying winners. They're an A-plus rated sportsbook on a variety of review sites, and you can use your golf knowledge to make some extra cash. Easy-to-use interface, very mobile-friendly, has odds on everything golf-related from matchups to props to wins, you name it. You can use the promo code GOLFNEWS25 and get a free $25 wager just for registering. And if you deposit, you get a 200% bonus match on that money. So one more time, go to BetDSI.com and use the promo code GOLFNEWS25 for that free $25 wager and a 200% bonus when you deposit. All right, so last week we had Steve Elkington on the show to preview the PGA Championship, the 1995 winner. And we teased something that was coming along, and we're going to tell you about it because it's now actually live and living. So we have teamed up with our friends at Secret Golf. Elk's the founder of Secret Golf, and he works with a number of other folks behind the scenes. They're all fantastic and spectacular. I've had lots of fun hanging out with them at the times that we've been in the same place at the same time, including the Players' Championship this year in May. It was great. And they have decided to kick up a Secret Golf podcast. And part of the reason for that is they have so many great golfers at Secret Golf as part of their staff. They have their own player channels. They're able to kind of give you a behind-the-scenes look at what their lives are like and also tell you how they play the game. So you can kind of decide for yourself how you want to learn how to play based on seeing how 20 different male and female professionals, ranging from major championship winners, male and female, to regular Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup participants, to up-and-coming players, to Web.com Tour vets. I mean, you name it, you have that kind of caliber of player, and they customize tips for you on the site based on your goals, and they deliver that information to you, and you can kind of explore it all however you would like at your own pace for a very reasonable fee per year. But what they do is mostly video, so that we've teamed up with them for the podcast portion. So we will post Secret Golf podcasts to our website. We're going to have it on iTunes pretty soon. We'll let you know when that happens through here as well on golfnewsnet.com. We're really excited about it. So we have three episodes already up and running. The first two are PGA Championship preview shows, interviews with the 2013 winner, Jason Duffner, and the 2017 Wells Fargo Championship winner, which was over in Wilmington this year, Eagle Point or Eagle Trace, with Brian Harman. So very excited to have that. Very excited to do that. Okay, so that's the news that's out of the way. Now we've got a PGA Championship to talk about. And to be truthful, I feel like there's no buzz for it. And part of that was I've been in Michigan for like 4 or 5 days, went up to Kingsley Club, played Crystal Downs and Kingsley, which was amazing, played Forest Dunes, which was out of this world cool, and play both ways on the loop, the red and the black loops. And that was like playing U.S. Open golf, how it probably should have played had Erin Hills had wind and a little bit firmer, a little bit faster. I mean, it was that kind of caliber of golf course. I think it was actually harder than Erin Hills probably could ever hope to be. And had so much fun up there. But had no cell phone reception for a couple of days. And so I kind of stepped out of the world a little bit, which was really awesome for playing golf, and not so awesome for keeping up for what's going on with the PGA Championship. Turns out, not much. There's not a whole lot of buzz this week, except for the fact that the PGA Championship is officially moving to May. We finally got that confirmation of the thing we had heard about for months on end, really going back to last year, dating back to the playoffs, when there was kind of this talk, all right, well, maybe we're going to try and change it, but it's up to the PGA of America. And there had been some talk at the Senior PGA Championship when it was down here in our area over at Trump's golf course in Northern Virginia and trying to extricate from them, is this going to happen or not? And the way that the talk was going seemed like there was more justification than defensiveness, more acceptance than denial that this was probably going to happen, that it was going to go this way, And then you have to set everything up. You have to notify everybody that's involved, that's affected. So obviously it's a PGA Tour and the PGA of America working together on this. So they've got to tell all the major golf tours. They've got to probably tell the IOC, maybe not. They've got to tell the governing bodies of the sport, here's what we're planning to do. And in many cases, it doesn't affect them. The dates of the U.S. Open, the Masters, and the Open Championship are all set well into the future. So when this starts in 2019, those dates are already set. The PGA Championship just had to confer with the PGA Tour to when they could change it. So they're going the week after Mother's Day in 2019. And that'll be May 16 to 19. At Bethpage State Park in New York on Long Island. So it'll be really interesting to see, first of all, how a May PGA works. Second, how this particular venue, which has been a U.S. Open host in June twice and been very difficult once and very rainy the other time and not very hard at all by comparison, and how it does in May. Because it's a little bit cooler in New York, obviously, May. You're rolling the dice a little bit. You could have 50-degree days. You have 80-degree days. You could have a 50-degree day that turns into an 80-degree day. You could have all kinds of seasons of weather. It's going to be really interesting because they've named the PGA Championship hosts into 2023. So if you've agreed to host the PGA Championship, like Oak Hill, Trump National Golf Club in New Jersey, obviously TPC Harding Park out in San Francisco, the weather never seems to change in San Francisco. It's always 50 or 60 degrees, so that's fine. And then you have Southern Hills at some point in the future from 2024 to 2030, but they haven't figured out that date yet. So the venues that we know are all kind of in places where you thought, oh, May PGA, that sounds like a bad idea. But now, okay, well, maybe not so bad. So we'll see how it works out for these venues in the Northeast. Obviously, they're going to name PGA Championship sites before then. And they're going to say, we'll probably continue to go into the Midwest. That's a certainly a friendly place. But I would think they would want to get a Florida or an Arizona or a Texas venue on the docket, toot sweet. I mean, get it on there, and let's start setting that precedent of playing this major championship in a different climate in May. And I think that's the most exciting part, is that you can say we can take majors in all 50 states. Well, okay, in the lower 48 and Hawaii is where you can have this championship. But that said, they'll have to figure out kind of a cadence to it. Do they try to go southern? They try to stick to these traditional venues and just roll the dice in May? It'll be super interesting to see how that plays out. Meanwhile, you've got the Players Championship vacating the May date, that Mother's Day weekend date, which had worked well for them, I thought. But they've decided to go back to March. They want to be the appetizer to the Masters again. And that does a couple of things for them. First, it makes them the first big golf tournament of the year on the calendar. Not a major. We're not talking about that. We can discuss that in 20 years. But it's the first big golf tournament of the year on the calendar. And up until 2007, this was when the tournament was largely played, in March. And TPC Sawgrass is a very, and Jacksonville is very different in March than May. It's a little windy. It can get cold. It's a little more likely to be rainy cold. There's a lot of extra difficulty that can come from weather that you wouldn't get, and well, you're hard-pressed to get in May. And the part of the reason they moved the Players' Championship to May was because they wanted to make it a harder golf course. They thought, when like Davis Love tore it up in 2003 and shot 64 in the final round, and then Stephen Ames won it, Fred Funk won it. I love Fred Funk, but they're like, uh-oh. Guys winning this tournament aren't guys we expect to win big tournaments. So what are you doing? How's that going to work out? And then you worry about getting random winners. And really, for the period in which it was in May, you only had a couple of randoms. I mean, you had Tim Clark, who was still playing really great golf. You had Siwoo Kim, who was kind of a random champion. But other than that, by and large, you had some great, great winners in May. But what the PGA Tour believes is that thanks to advances in agronomy and the improvements they've made at TPC Sawgrass, and they have made a boatload of investment in that property, that they are able to make this golf course, the Players Stadium course, play as difficult in March as it does now in May. As firm and fast as they want, they'll get more weather, it'll be more interesting. So, okay, let's see how that goes. Then there's an entire set of fallout for the PGA Tour schedule. You got to move two WGCs, both out of March, April, because you got to clear the decks for the Masters, and you got to clear the decks for the Players, and you got to clear the deck for the PGA Championship. So you got to break up the Texas swing in May. So Colonial and the Nelson are going to be in different weeks. They're not going to be back-to-back anymore. And then you've got to worry about, do you end the regular season with the Wyndham? Do you move that up? What happens to the Canadian Open? Now that's after the final major of the year. Do you just throw another tournament in there? Maybe you give the Canadian Open a better date. Maybe it's the next to last event of the regular season or something like that. I don't know. Maybe you make it the last regular season event. You make it really meaningful. Maybe you get some better players. Maybe, I don't know. But you can take a look at that too. There are a lot of things that still have to be decided beyond these two moves. And I don't think we're going to get a good sense of that until sometime early next year. Because they're going to release the PGA Tour schedule for 18, which is not going to really be fundamentally different than what we have this year. And then they're going to concern themselves with trying to figure out 2019. Really, it's the 2018-19 season, so they don't have a whole lot of time to figure it out. But they probably have 6 months to figure all of that out. And they're negotiating, they're talking to tournaments. From what I understand, based on talking to some tournament officials at various PGA Tour events, they don't really entirely know what the PGA Tour is going to do. They've been given some assurances, some tournaments, hey, you're pretty safe. Not like we're going to lose tournaments, but your date's pretty well protected. We're not going to bump you around. Or if you want to bump around, think about like a Greenbrier that could go to the fall, maybe be a cool kickoff to the season. Maybe there are some volunteers to do that and clear up some space to make the scheduling change work that they ultimately want to get to, which is moving the FedEx Cup finale, the end of the Tour Championship, to Labor Day weekend. Right now, that's basically the end of September, late middle September. Now you want to try and move that up a few weeks. So you're probably going to cut out Boston. You're going to cut out that event, send it, land the plane there and give that a nice funeral. And then you're going to have three playoff events, the New York area, the Chicago area, / other metro cities when it moves around, and Atlanta for the Tour Championship in perpetuity. So all kinds of cool stuff, lots of things still to happen. The golf schedule is changing, the cadence is changing. It happens every once in a while, usually not for a major. In 1972 is when really the August PGA date was solidified. So basically you're going to have 45, 46 years in August, and now you're going to move it to May. But over the years, the PGA Championship has been played in 9 different months of the calendar year. So who knows? Maybe it'll all work out great. But I love the idea. I think there are a lot of positives that come out of it once they get past all of the basic stuff that needs to be done in terms of logistics just to build a calendar with a lot of moving parts on the PGA Tour side. But for the PGA of America, they're locked in, ready to go. So that's cool. Speaking of the actual PGA Championship, as I mentioned, we're Quail Hollow. They brought in Tom Fazio as a continuation of this long-running master plan that he's had with this property with Johnny. And to say that this was well-received, I think, is a dramatic misstep, if you were to say that. The changes that were made, so they lengthened 1 and 3. They created 2 new holes, 4 and 5. So they made basically a par 5 into a par 3 and a par 4. And it has not been well received, particularly the fourth hole. It seems like it's a little out of place. It seems like the bunkering doesn't make sense. And from the way that the story of the development is told, they begin as the 2016 Wells Fargo Championship is ending. And then they bring in Fazio with his plan. He has basically 3 separate crews going at once because they need to get this done immediately. So he has 3 different crews doing the work instead of 1 crew under constant direction and supervision doing the work. So that you're kind of wondering what's going on with that. And ultimately, I think the fourth hole is the one that kind of got booted. The fifth hole seems pretty reasonable, pretty okay. I don't like the idea of having two 500-plus yard par fours in the first six holes. That seems goofballs. But with the way these guys are hitting the golf ball now, maybe it's not that insane. But yet Sergio Garcia, say, leading into the championship, he's expecting to hit a lot of four and five irons into greens. In part, that's because there's been a lot of rain in the Charlotte area, and there's a lot of rain in the forecast, especially for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So if you're thinking about your last-minute kind of picks, your bets, your fantasy teams, you got to think about guys that are long and straight. And immediately comes to mind Rory McIlroy. You think about Ricky Fowler that's won this event here before. You do not think about Jordan Spieth. Maybe you think about Dustin Johnson. If you're feeling like he's getting back to where he needs to be, you're certainly thinking about Brooks Koepka because he is just murdering the golf ball and he hits it forever. Think about a Tony Finau who's super far, hitting the golf ball really well right now. Of course, John Rahm comes to mind. Paul Casey and Justin Rose are kind of sneaky long and accurate. They have good records at this club. So the big boys have a huge advantage based on the weather forecast and based on the way the golf course is playing right now. And playing at 7,600 yards, that's just a lot of yards. It doesn't matter whether it's rainy or not. Add in the rain, you make it play a little bit more like 7,600 yards instead of like 7,300 yards when you consider maybe all that rollout you can get on drives when it's firm and fast. And that's a big difference. That's a club a hole, if not more, depending on what you're doing. So there's going to be some really fascinating issues that come up with players trying to hit greens that probably aren't really meant to be hit with long irons, and they're going to hit them, and they're going to see how this works for the first time because all the greens were regrassed, so they're all probably super firm. As the super at TPC Sawgrass told Andy Johnson from the Fried Egg about the 12th hole, it was going to play firm and fast because it's new and there's not organic matter in it yet or underneath it yet. And by that, I meant dead bugs and animal poop. So there's really not a whole lot of that sitting there right now by relative standards. So it's not all that soft. And even if it rains and continues to rain, it won't necessarily soften it all that much right now. It's going to take time for that to happen. Kind of like what happened with what's going on at the Loop up at Forest Dunes. Amazing golf course. Rock hard greens. Really hard to hold because you have to think about hitting 10 yards short to run it up. And I think we're going to see a lot of that this week. But you're not going to get as much rollout because we'll have soft conditions in the fairway. So there's a lot to figure out. You're going to need a special kind of talent to be able to win this championship. And it's probably going to feel a lot more like a U.S. Open than probably the U.S. Open felt this year. And I think that's going to make this a fascinating championship. Phil Mickelson said he believes even or maybe one under or two under could win. So this could kind of be like Baltusrol in 05 when that was super tough. That was very much a U.S. Open that year. And we'll just have to see how it plays out. But I get a feeling that this is going to be the U.S. Open for this year. And it'll be pretty neat to see. All right, let's take a quick break here to tell you about ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring or do you know somebody who is? And do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. And then with their powerful technology, it efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. And that's what makes ZipRecruiter different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. There's no juggling emails, calls to your office. You simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners to the 19th Hole Golf Show can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free, absolutely free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/19. That's ZipRecruiter.com/19. Finally, one more time, ZipRecruiter.com/19. Give it a try for free. Hire some great talent. and maybe post a job opening for Rory McIlroy's caddy, because he's going to need some help sooner than later. All right, let's get back into the context of the PGA Championship, and let's talk a little bit about favorites, maybe. We talked about weather. We talked about golf course playing longer from tee to green, certainly, with the rain that's come, rain that's expected. What about Jordan Spieth's chances? I feel like the proper assessment has been made on Golf Channel. The assessment is he's got to have the driving week of his life to win. And it's in part because he's not long compared to the longest players. He's also not all that straight of a driver. And with thick, juicy rough, long holes, tree line, you've got a lot of trouble for Jordan Spieth off the tee, which I find to be the most compelling shot in major championship golf right now, because you have no idea what's going on when he hits a golf ball. But then you look at someone like Rory McIlroy, who Golf Channel was showing today is hitting 320-yard three woods off the tee. So maybe he doesn't have to worry about the length of this golf course in nearly the same way basically every other player in the field does. And we talked about this last year at Baltusrol to some extent, where when the golf course got tight, guys could hit three wood and you go, okay, but they can still hit it 300 yards. There's no issue. You could just smoke the golf ball and everything's great. So I guess I get the sense that McIlroy, DJ, Brooks, guys are very comfortable with driver and three wood for that matter. Although then you think about Ricky Fowler. He's not the most comfortable 3 and 5 wood player in the world. Remember what happened at Scottsdale a couple years ago against Hideki in that playoff? He just could not hit fairway wood on 17 to save his freaking life. And that's why he lost the playoff. Got himself into trouble. And so I think he's going to have to find himself relying on driver because it's what he feels confident with. And then you got McIlroy, who just has options. If it firms up, he can hit a 3-wood. Maybe he can get out that new UDI, the ultimate driving iron. That's the P790 they're working on at TaylorMade. You can read about that on our website, golfnewsnet.com. That he could feel really confident hitting 280, 290, especially on firm, fast fairways, and turn par fours into very short holes if he chooses. And he can turn those 500-yard holes into holes where he's hitting 6 and 7 iron into greens, even with a good roll. That's not a bad deal. I think that, again, I'm biased. I've pegged Rory McIlroy to win this major for 3 years. This is his. This should be his. It sets up for him. He knows it sets up for him. Everybody knows it sets up for him. He's got a 62 here. He's got a 61 here. He's won this tournament twice. He won it from the cut line the first time. And he lost to Ricky Fowler in DA points, DA points was in the playoff. He lost to Ricky Fowler 1 year in a playoff. So when he plays this championship, and it's at Quail Hollow, it's Rory versus the field. But also normally when this tournament is here, Koepka doesn't always play. DJ rarely plays. Spieth certainly doesn't. John Rahm's fairly new. He didn't even get to see this venue last year before they started doing the work to it, but he did play in Wilmington and had a very good result, nearly won the tournament. But that's not the same golf course. That's different. So how do you come up with anybody other than Rory to pick? And from a fantasy perspective, if you're trying to make up some ground in a fantasy golf tournament or a season-long race or anything like that, you know everyone's picking Rory. So do you pick Rory or do you go contrarian? Do you decide you're going to try and roll the dice on Ricky Fowler? Do you roll the dice on Brooks Koepka? Or Hideki Matsuyama, who shot 61 at Firestone to win in a laugher, which was amazing. I think you have to start and end with Rory, but if you're trying to come up with a lineup that's different, then start thinking about Brooks Koepka, who's played the last 5 majors better against par than anybody. Think about Dustin Johnson, who seems to be getting closer to where he needs to be. Think about John Rahm, although he seems to feel uncomfortable in majors right now. But the good news is this feels the most like a regular PGA Tour event of the 4 majors. So maybe that will settle him down a little bit, get off to a good start, not get upset, get himself in a position, and maybe he plays great once the weekend comes. So those are those guys that come immediately to mind that you think about. As I mentioned, Paul Casey has played great in the majors, although he fades on weekends. Hideki is not finished worse than 14th in three majors this year. And if you look at his last four major championships, certainly hasn't finished outside the top 14. So he's had a great string of major championships. There's just a lot of guys that I think are playing really good golf right now. There are enough that you don't really feel like you have to do anything other than chalk. And then you look at someone like Charlie Hoffman, who's playing brilliant golf in the major championships this year. And really just great golf at all. I mean, he's having the best season of his career. He almost won the Canadian Open in that playoff. He's playing great golf, and he feels confident that he can play great golf anywhere. He's okay at Quail Hollow. Not light the world on fire kind of guy, but okay. So you got to look at him as maybe an underdog. I mentioned Tony Finau as a potential underdog. I would love his chances. Very good record at Quail Hollow. What about Phil Mickelson? Phil Mickelson's intriguing to me because this is a golf course he likes. He finishes really well on this golf course. And yet, in the majors this year, he has been an utter throwaway. Obviously, didn't play the U.S. Open. Masters. And the Open Championship was horrible. I mean, it was just terrible. Did nothing. Went home. So, you can't throw that dart and say, I'm going to take Phil Mickelson. It's just not, it's not an option. It just is not a good option. So, I guess for me, it boils down to three people. Ricky, Rory, and Brooks are my three I love for this week. And I know that sounds like I'm going way off base here, but I think you got to pick one of those three. And they're the three favorites, probably. I don't know what the current odds are of the second, but I would think they're the three favorites. So take a look at them when you get a chance. I'm interested to hear your picks, who you like. Shoot me a tweet, at Ryan Balogie, let me know. Even if it's Thursday afternoon when you hear this, let me know. I want to know who you think is going to win. Hopefully you don't tell me the first round leader as they're finishing up on 18, because then I know you have cheated. But let me know what you think. Always want to keep the banter going on social media. It's nice to be back in civilization, and it's nice to be able to talk about a major championship one final time in 2017. At least for the fellas, we have the Evian Championship in September in France to close out the thing of major major season on the LPGA and in general for the year. So we got one more major to go after this. All right, next week on the show, we will talk about the PGA Championship. Whatever happens, whoever wins, however it all works out, we'll have analysis, we'll talk about everything, and we'll try and figure out what goes on from here as we get ready for the end of the regular PGA Tour season with the Wyndham Championship. Then we get into the playoffs. Then we're into the Web.com Tour Finals and all the drama of Q School trying to get Web.com Tour cards. So many things still left to go in golf this year, but this is our last big hurrah of 2017, which is pretty remarkable to think about. Anyway, thanks for your support as always. Be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you use that, or just let someone know about our show. It helps us reach more people, and we're always appreciative to talk golf with more of you. Thanks for checking in with us this week, and I'm Ryan Balogie saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time after someone wins a Wanamaker Trophy on the 19th Hole Golf Show.